I read this week of a Spanish father and son who had become estranged. The son ran away and the father set off to find him. He searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find his son, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The father returned early on the Saturday morning to the newspaper office and found his son among dozens of other young men called Paco, looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. This takes us to the passage in Luke chapter 15 that tells us about a father looking out for his son. You know the story. It's a familiar New Testament story. It's about a young son leaving home, ending up in a distant land where he spent his money on all the wrong things. Eventually, he came to his senses and returned to his father and was welcomed back home with open arms. This passage or story in Luke 15 has been preached on from various perspectives and angles over the years. Some major on the thoughtlessness of this young son in doing what he did. Others focus on the older son and how he couldn't readily accept the return of his younger brother. I want us to have a look at the story from a different perspective. I want us to have a look at the father in the story, because I believe this father gives us a picture of God. Some things we will notice about this father can be said of God, who we might say is the father of all fathers. First, the prodigal's father was approachable. He was a man a son could go up to and talk to. The young son in the story seems to have had no fear about going to his father, even on a touchy subject like inheritance. Not every son would have gone to their father with such a request, because to ask for your inheritance while your father was still alive was like saying to your father, "I wish you were dead. I really wish you weren't here so as I could have what's coming to me." Not all sons would have gone to their father with such a request, because they would have been concerned about their father's response, or they would have been afraid of hurting their father. But the son in this story had no hesitation, no fear of going along to his father to ask for what was coming to him. This father was approachable. God is approachable. The God we meet to worship Sunday by Sunday is approachable. The God whose praises we have already been singing is approachable. For instance, he's approachable when we need guidance for our lives. There are times in all our lives when we're not sure what to do in a particular situation. We may ask a family member. We may take advice from a friend. But still, we're not sure. God is approachable when we need guidance. Here's what we read at verse 9 of Psalm 25. "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." The Lord is approachable when we need guidance. He is approachable when we need forgiveness for our sins. This is shown to us in such a clear and warm way in verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1. We read there, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." In Ezekiel 36, verse 25, we read, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols." God is approachable when we need guidance. He is approachable when we need forgiveness. He freely forgives when we ask Him to, when we confess our sins before Him. God is approachable for strength for the Christian journey. There's no Christian who hasn't got moments when we are weak, moments when we wonder how we are going to get through a particular situation. Yet in those times, God can give us the strength we need. Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." And there are those of us here who have known this and proved this in times past, that God is a never-present help. And perhaps this is how you are finding it presently. God is approachable for guidance, for forgiveness, for strength for the journey. Second, this father was not only approachable, he was available. One of the things that hasn't helped modern day society is the unavailability of some fathers to their children, especially to their young sons. Perhaps as a result of work commitments, perhaps too many hobbies, too much socializing, perhaps just an unwillingness to take responsibility. The prodigal's father was available. When the son came along to him to request his part of the inheritance, the father could have said, "Run along, son. I'm too busy. Or I'll talk to you later. Or go and ask your mum." But this father didn't try to fob his son off. He was available to him to listen. We all like people to be available to us when we have a query or need something. A week or two ago, I had to collect an item in a shop in Coleraine, and I was in a hurry. I got the car parked and hurried over to the shop, only to find a note on the door, "Back in 15 minutes. Now, had the 15 minutes just started, or was it near the end of the 15 minutes? We like people to be available to us when the need arises. Perhaps the need to see a doctor or a dentist with some urgency, or maybe the need for someone to sort out an appliance breakdown. And it can frustrate us, it can irritate us if we are phoning one of these folk and you hear your place in the queue is number 15. But we do value your call. God is always available. How do we know? Well, we know from a verse we find in Psalm 121. It says there, "He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Always awake, always available. God is never unavailable. It will not matter when you or I knock His door, so to speak. We will find Him in. He will be available to us. The father in the story was approachable and available to his son. God is approachable and He is available to you and to me today and every day. We should be amazed at this and very thankful for this. Third, the father in the story was affectionate. This comes out so clearly in verse 20. In verse 20, we're told about the son beginning to make his way back home. And as he comes near home, he sees a figure coming towards him. As it turns out, the figure is that of his elderly father. And as soon as the two meet together, what did the father do? Did he inquire of his son where he had been and what he had been doing? No. Did he ask him why he didn't make any contact with home since going away? No. Did the father ask his son what money he had left? No. These are the kind of questions some of us would have asked, or at least have been tempted to ask. This father never asked any such questions. Here's the attitude of the prodigal's father, partway through verse 20. Partway through verse 20, we read, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." This father was affectionate, reaching out in tenderness and love to the young man whose going away must have hurt his father so much. You know, friends, the Bible tells us, and Derek was reminding us earlier, the Bible tells us that God doesn't treat sin lightly, that he's not casual about disobedience to his word, that he's not indifferent to the wrongdoing of individuals and groups. God doesn't brush aside sin. He doesn't brush it under the carpet the way some people tend to think he does. God doesn't treat sin lightly. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. In other words, sin has a payment. And death here means more than physical death. It also means eternal separation from God. Unconfessed sin has a wage or a payment, which in the end is separation from God. Further on in Romans, we read of the severity of God towards unconfessed sin. Romans 11, verse 22. But in that very same verse, Romans 11, 22, we read of the kindness of God, the affection of God, reaching out to us that we might repent and trust in Jesus. The Father was approachable, available, affectionate. God is all of these and more. The Father in this story was also patient. The tone of the passage suggests that at some point most days, the Father was looking out for his son to return home. We don't know how long the young man was away. May have been for months, perhaps years. But that father was out there, patiently looking for his son's return. Friends, God is patient. When we turn to the Old Testament, we find that the chosen people of God didn't live or behave as they should have. They had every opportunity to do so, but they were opportunities that they often didn't take. They often ignored the commandments of God that God had given them to help them in their relationship with him and in their relationship with each other. Not only that, they often rejected the prophets that God sent to them, and yet God was patient with them. We can't read through the Old Testament and not notice just how patient God was with his people, in order that they might commit themselves to him and to his ways and be an example for others to follow. God is patient. There are those of us here today, and we are deeply thankful for the patience of God, because he had to bring Jesus before us many times before we trusted him as our Savior. But there are others of us here, and we know for some time now that God has been challenging us to make a definite break with our sin, that God has been challenging us to give Jesus the welcome and trust he deserves for what he has done for us. But we're still resistant. Friends, let's be thankful for God's patience, but let's not take it for granted. In verse 6 of Isaiah 55, we are encouraged to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. And all who have ever called on him have not been disappointed. The young man in Luke 15 found open arms and a welcome as he returned to his father. And this father, in this father, we have a picture of God, one who is approachable, available, affectionate, and patient. Let us pray.